up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
Good to see you too, Derek.
Next, we have our very own Rocket Man, or close enough as an engineer, Pete.
And guys, I got my electric boots and my mohair suit, and I'm ready to talk.
Yeah.
And as one who will never go breaking our hearts, we got Steve. Sorry, Kate, I forgot. Thought of this after you already pulled you off.
I'm the resident tiny dancer.
This actually that works. Yeah.
Not Tony Danza.
I will happily be Tony Danza.
Well, guys, if you can't tell already, we are talking about the documentary Elton John, Never Too Late. This is based on the title, actually, of a song that is in the new live-action Mufasa movie that he wrote called Never Too Late. I have not heard it because I've not seen the movie. But it focuses on, this documentary really focuses on Elton John's early career as he is leading up to his last concert in Dodger Stadium. Covers mostly the 60s and the 70s. Kind of up to his first concert in Dodger Stadium. And then to a self-imposed break from touring that he took. And I believe it was the late 70s. So, and in this movie, it jumps from early, and I will say, and it's to its credit, it always has what time frame. It always lets you know when it's jumping time, which is nice, just because otherwise it would be incredibly confusing. But Pete, I'll start with you on this one. Did the time jumping back and forth work?
I'm going to answer this badly and say yes and no. At first, I didn't really like it because I found it a little, even when they were showing the times, I thought it made it a little bit confusing. And I also thought the current day stuff was mostly kind of boring. I mean, it just kind of showed him. I mean, there was a few interesting things, like he had a podcast where he was trying to introduce new bands and things, which I didn't even know about.
Yeah,
that bit was okay. But I was much more interested in the older stuff from the 60s and 70s. But I was talking with my wife about this, and she watched it with me, and she pointed out that one of the things she liked was that a lot of the older footage was narrated by him in modern day. So he was kind of describing what was going on in his life at the time. And I think because of that, I think it worked okay. Cause I was thinking, well, then it makes more sense when you think about it that way, that they're showing him now. And then they show him talking about the stuff that happened in the past. So it worked well enough. I don't think it was necessary per se. I think it would have been more interesting if they just focused on his history and saved maybe the modern thing for the end. But it wasn't a terrible choice. It wasn't, it didn't ruin it or anything. So.
Okay. Yeah, I would mostly agree. I think a lot of the older stuff was heavier. And what they would do is they would, when it got super heavy or super little bit, not necessarily what you wanted to focus on, they would jump to modern day. So right. I think okay. that that jumping, just in the fact that it broke it up a little bit, to me, worked. But otherwise, I'm not really sure it was necessary. Kate?
No, I was going to kind of say the same thing. It actually helped me stay not confused, Kate. It actually helped me, like, know where we were in it. So I really appreciated having the time jumps. And when it showed the years, when it went back to 1975, when it went, and then it would scroll forward, that really helped me, especially when you add in when he was talking about with being with John Lennon, and he was talking about his first love, knowing the actual years and having it kind of jump back and forth. I really liked that. So,
okay. Next part of it is there were short sections that were animated, and these animated sections tended to be the heavier subjects or the not as wholesome subjects. So, Steve, I'm going to go with you on this one. Was it effective for those sections to be animated?
I didn't care for the animation. I understand that they're trying to fill in something because you don't necessarily have footage or something, but it sort of took me out. I look at other documentaries. One that came to mind was sort of the Stan Lee documentary where they use sort of the stop motion. And I know they're trying to put something in there. And maybe it was the style of the animation, but I don't know. I don't want to say it was off-putting, but I guess it didn't click for me as much. I got home, that came up, I'd just listen.
Yeah.
I'll pass it off to Kate.
Liked it. I liked it because instead of, let's say, showing a picture or just having, like, if they were just zoomed in on Elton's face, excuse me, or something while he was doing this, it did give me the visual of, like, oh, like the bunk beds, like when he was talking about the first time he told the guy that he loved him,
Bernie Taupin.
Not his first love, but like his roommate or whatever.
Bernie Taupin is the lyricist.
Yeah. And he's right. And so, I didn't even think of them being on bunk beds, but the animation showed that. And I was like, oh, like, that's not how I would have pictured that. That's cool. Or even one of my favorites when it was him and John Lennon and they were hiding from Andy Warhol. And in the animation, they like put a blanket over their heads. And that made me laugh out loud. So I liked it, but I also am a visual person. So I liked it.
That's fair. I almost would have liked it more seeing his face talking about it just so you could get a little bit better feed on some of his emotions on it. Would have been my preference, because Steve was definitely right on this, that it pulled me out of the flow of the documentary. I think the only one that did work was the one with John Lennon.
I liked that one.
But the other ones, I don't know. I'm not sure. I almost would have rather had them see reenactment's quite the right. Yeah, like almost like a reenactment type thing with actors where you wouldn't necessarily see their face, but it could have been, you know, like just a couple guys laying on the bed and like you see their feet hanging off the end as he's talking about it. I don't know. So, Pete?
And this comes to a point that I was disappointed in this, because it felt like they didn't have a lot of good footage for this documentary. You know, I recently, we didn't cover it here, but there was a Beatles documentary that came out not too long ago called, I don't know if it was Beatles 64 or 65, which is about their visit to the Ed Sullivan Show. And it was like all this footage of that first trip to New York, and you know, a lot of footage that I'd never seen. And it was, you know, even though it wasn't that exciting, it was still interesting. And I was like, geez, how do they have so little footage of Elton John in all his successful years? Because like you know, there's some really bad, bad stuff really that they had.
Concert films. I mean, yeah. To the point where they had to do it at like double speed.
Okay. Yeah. So can I add something in here? Because I think this will fit here because. Oh, never mind.
No. Go ahead, Kate.
Oh, okay. Because that was I really enjoyed this documentary. I love Elton John. I learned a lot in this documentary that I did not already know, and I thought I knew a lot about him. I was turned off by it's like they ran out of stuff of the like documentary side of it in the beginning. It's like they ran out of that toward the end, and then it was just so much just straight music. Not that I don't love Elton John's songs. I do. And I liked seeing the clips of his Dodgers concert. But by the end, it was just like so much music. It wasn't like the video of all of them. Sometimes it was just like pictures along with the music. And that to me made it drag on way too long. Again, I really like this. I'm going to give it a high pixie dust rating, but it is going to be knocked at least a point because there were parts like they played like two or three of the songs with John Lennon. And I love John Lennon, but it was just like, okay, I want to hear more about the Andy Warhol when they were hiding under the sheet. Like, I want to hear more about him. I would have loved to have heard a little bit more about him and his parents. I wanted to know more of the documentary side versus the concert side.
And that leads us actually very well into our next part. Is this did hit some parts of his life that were not sunshine and roses. His interactions with his parents, his interactions with John Reed, who, yes, is the same John Reed that worked with Queen. So now we know. Now we know in Bohemian Rhapsody when they say he took care of he looks after Elton John. Now we know what they meant. But so the drug there was the drug use and such. And Kate, I'm going to actually go to you on this one. Were those parts of it too sanitized?
I don't know if too sanitized is the word I would use. Because he didn't pull punches in parts of it. When he talked about his parents and he talked about his mom beating him with a wire brush because he was learning to potty train. Like, that's heavy, man. Like, that's not sanitized.
My parent is going... Yeah, that's not going to work.
Right. And just hearing, you know, his dad, how he tried so hard. He was such a scared little boy because he was living in so much fear. This is hard because it's also partly his story. And so it has to be what he's comfortable telling. I would have liked to have heard more about him kind of figuring out that he was gay or like his journey there and his journey with, I'm so sorry, what is his name? John? Is that his name?
John Reed, yeah.
Okay. I would have loved to have heard a little bit more of that journey and John's turning to being someone who was abusive, how Elton got out of that and how I would have loved to have gone a little bit deeper on that and his growth of like, talk to me about when you quit cocaine. Talk to me about rehab. If you went to rehab, how did you find your husband now? There's more deeper personal things I would have liked to have heard, but I don't think that they sanitized it. Pete, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't have too much of an issue with it being sanitized, though. One thing that they skipped over is it happened after where they stopped, but he actually married a woman at one point. And they didn't cover that at all. You know, I mean, he did in that first article, he came out saying he was bisexual. So at one point, you know, so maybe that makes sense why he at that point was marrying a woman, but I think eventually he came out as, you know, just being gay. I don't know that for sure. But the other thing is, I don't know if anyone here has seen the biographical movie Rocket Man, which is not this. And I always wonder with those, I mean, obviously that movie was done in a little bit of a fantastical way, but it covered a lot of the same things, except it covered a little bit more. And it got into some of those other things about, you know, that relationship with John Reed. It got a little dirtier into it and things like that. So I was maybe disappointed that it didn't go quite, that this didn't go quite as far. So what about you, Steve?
Well, I brought up this question because his husband was either producer or part director or something.
Yeah.
That always makes me wonder, like, what are you holding back? Like, we got quite a bit, but what else are you not telling us? Like, I know, like, when you're involved, like, you want to give your partner the best interest. I'm not going to give all the dirty little secrets. So that's why I was thinking about that.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point. I wish, like, did they adopt?
Yes.
Yes. Like, well, no. They're, so I looked this up. They had a surrogate and their two kids are, I mean, they weren't born at the same time, but they were both sperm donors, but they don't know
which
they don't know if either kid is who the actual father is.
Got it. So, Steve, I 100% agree with everything. I mean, I agree with everything you said, but I do wish, like, take out the concert part of it and give me more of the information part of it.
Okay. And yes, Pete brings up a point, which is going to kind of move us on to the what was surprising in this. What was surprising about Elton John that you didn't expect to necessarily see? And for me, it was his comment of the how he wishes he could see his kids grow up, but he doesn't know that he's going to be able to. Because he's in his 70s already. He's in his mid-70s already, and the kids are like young. So, and that's a thought every parent has of, be it a kid or a grandkid, of a would love to see them grow up. And at some point, you're not going to. I mean, I hate to say it. At some point, we're all not going to. So seeing that thought, that one, that to me was the deepest insight into him that I saw, was that emotion of, I know I'm probably not going to get to see my kids grow up. And just the look on his face was the look that I have seen my parents when it comes to my son and their grandchildren. It's one of those, at some point, they're not going to see him get to do X, Y, or Z. They're not going to get to see me do X, Y, or Z. So, Kate?
So I'm going to contradict myself a little bit here because I just got done saying, like, I wanted him to go deeper and tell me more. But I was actually surprised when he talked about the abuse from his parents. Again, I didn't know that. And so him going into so much detail instead of just saying, like, I went through a lot of abuse, like going into the detail that he went about his parents and his childhood shocked me a little bit. I just wasn't expecting that. I'm glad he did, because I don't think that should be shied away from, because it is part of his story and it makes me respect him all the more. I remember another thing. I'm so glad I remembered this. I loved when he talked about, and I am not going to be able to remember her name, the Black woman that he watched play piano on television. And I can't, Derek, I don't know if you can look up, I cannot remember her name.
I'll get it.
But I loved that. That was super surprising to me. I did not see that coming. And when he was like, yeah, she used two different pianos. And
Winifred Atwell.
Yes. I loved that. That totally shocked me. I did not realize that was a lot of his inspiration. I loved that. Pete, you go.
Yeah, I didn't find too much of that. I mean, I'm kind of a like rock 70s rock and roll history nerd a little bit, so I tend to know a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. And as I said, if you saw Rocket Man, a lot of this was covered in that. They didn't really talk about the abuse in that as much. I think they kind of downplayed that.
Which abuse from his parents or from his John parents. Reed or both?
From okay. his parents. No, they definitely had more about John Reed in the movie than in this. To me, the most interesting thing was like the John Lennon stuff, that he kind of like John Lennon befriended him at a point and they were like kind of doing stuff together. And I had forgotten about that song he did with John Lennon. Actually, I don't even know if I knew the Elton John. I knew the song, but I didn't realize that Elton John was in it.
Part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever gets you through the night. But I knew that John Lennon had come on stage with him, but I hadn't heard too much about that. I mean, I knew that John Lennon was like terribly nervous and everything, but I didn't know the whole story. So that part was to me the most interesting. And if I'm allowed to say what I was surprised at that wasn't there is I would have liked to had a little more about how he developed some of his biggest songs. And I know they covered, I mean, the big thing with Elton John is Bernie Taupin, right? Bernie would write the lyrics first. He would write all the lyrics and then he'd hand them to Elton John and Elton John would take them and, you know, basically make the music to it with his band and whatever, and which is very unusual way for songs to be written. You know, usually it's
either together or the other way.
Right. Yeah. Usually it's either the other way or together. It's very rare to have someone, and that Bernie was able to write such poetic lyrics. I mean, the lyrics of those early Elton John songs are fantastic in that he could write something that worked so well to music, not writing music, you know? I understand why, because it was, as you say, it was produced by David Furnish. But I would have liked to seen a little more of Bernie Taupin's influence on the songs and how they wrote the songs and things like that. But yeah, not a super lot surprising in this to me. What about you, Steve?
You have one of the ones that surprised me of how Bernie wrote it and then passed it off to John. And then sometimes Bernie didn't ever hear the finished piece until actually it had been sort of recorded, which I've talked to people at my school where like, what? Like really sort of surprised by that. Yeah. I think I knew that, but it was like sort of surprising. And then the other thing was just when he was talking about like, this makes me think of his personal life, how he is naturally just sort of shy and more reserved. And then there's stage presence. It made me really think about how we see these celebrities and we have this view of how they are as a person, but there could be this completely different side. And I think, like you said, near the end, I think Derek was sort of mentioning it, how we really sort of saw that sort of coming through more, this quiet, reserved, very much into his family where he is. So I found that sort of surprising, and which was, I was really fascinated by it. What about you, Derek?
That was cool.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of started this one off, but yeah, I mean, it's the other part that I found a little surprising that also kind of went into the whole, should it have been glossed over? Was it too glossed over or not? There was a comment he made that in the early to mid 70s, the only thing that would keep him going was sex and cocaine. And just how you never think of super successful artists getting super low in their life. And
a lot of them do.
and a lot of them do. But I mean, to the point of, I mean, he was very upfront with his suicide attempt. So does anyone remember? So a lot of this was done off of recordings for either another documentary or for a biography that was being written about him. Does anyone remember if they said when those recordings were made?
They did at the very beginning.
Right.
Like when the dress started.
It was a few years earlier, but not a lot earlier. Like okay. It was still like the 2010s sometime.
Yeah, okay. I just could not remember because I also remember that they had the recording of the actual recording from the article where he mentioned his bisexuality. They right. had that actual, and it was interesting that in the 70s, the reporter was willing to go off the record or not bring up those questions. I can't imagine that there are many reporters now who would not poke and poke and poke at certain things until they got the answer in this, especially in this 24-hour news cycle that we live in. But anyway, any other thoughts, comments about the show? I think I'll kind of start this one off. My only thought was I was kind of along the line of Kate where got a little long for me. And we have on this show, we have kind of a love-hate relationship with music documentaries for the most part. Most of us love to hate them.
That's real.
To me, this one ran a little long. Again, I will admit I'm not a huge Elton John fan. There's a few of his songs that I really enjoy, and then there's a bunch of his others that I would probably go listen to just about anything else, to be perfectly honest. So the one song of his that I was hoping they used, and okay, what's what is the Elton John song that has been used in another Disney animated title?
In a Disney animated title?
You're saying
animated movie.
That saying, we besides
on this show,
besides The Lion King,
yeah, not The Lion King. We have watched it on this show, and it goes over the end credits. If that helps, think about that as you guys just want to know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm thinking.
Okay, I'll let you think, Kate. What were your any other thoughts on the show?
I liked it.
Yeah. Okay.
I liked it.
I mean, I agree with what you just said. Like it the last 15 minutes and just in general, the whole modern part could have been trimmed a bit and spend more time on the history part. I mean, even using that as a framing device was okay, but especially towards the end when it got okay, now we're just going to show like if I want to see the LA concert.
I'll go watch the LA concert.
There's an LA that's on there. I've watched the LA concert. I don't need to watch 15 minutes of it at the end of this documentary. But overall, I did like it. Yeah. Steve? Yeah.
The same thing. I think, Kate, have you seen Rocket Man?
So yeah. I was just saying in our side chat that I can't remember. I've seen Rocket. I think I've seen Rocket Man, but I've also seen Bohemian Rhapsody. And I think I get the two of those those musical biopics mixed up.
Right. So I'm like Pete, because this was a lot of the same thing covered in Rocket Man, but his husband was also involved in Rocket Man. So it was sort of the here's the straight story. In this documentary, why Rocket Man was sort of, let's dramatize everything. So I enjoyed it. I did pick up on some new things, but there was not a lot of new surprising things for me.
The one thing, if you believe this documentary, Rocket Man was pretty accurate. Bohemian right. Rhapsody was very inaccurate.
Oh, incredibly inaccurate.
As a Queen fan, I the movie's great. 100%. Great movie. But they put things in completely the wrong order in that movie for artistic purposes. So, yeah.
Okay. As we always do, we do cups of pixie dust out of 5. Kate, 4. Elton John, Never Too Late.
I'm going to give it a solid 3.5. I liked it. Okay. What I liked, I mean, it's not any higher. I'm almost leaning toward giving it just a 3. I'm going to see what you all rate it at. But if they had cut back the music, it could have been about 20 minutes shorter if they had cut out some of the music or at least fill that in with more information. But yeah, I'll give it a 3.5 for now. I might change it to a 3.
Yeah, I'm giving it a 3. If you're a fan of Elton John, I think it's worth watching. You know, I mean, that's always with any kind of these biopics to me, like you should be a fan of the person. If you don't like the person, you're never going to really have a good time. You should at least be like a little bit of a fan, casual right? Fan.
Yeah,
even a casual fan. So I think that it's worth it from that respect. Again, I watched the LA Dodger stadium concert, and that's like for hardcore Elton John, you got to love him and to listen to him play for 3 hours. This is not that. There's some interesting parts to it, especially if you don't know too much about him. So 3 for me, Steve.
3 for me as well. I think it's one of the music documentaries we've seen, one of the ones I've enjoyed more. I don't know if that matches my ratings, but 3.
I'm going to go a 2 just because I did not hate this. I didn't hate it. But I, as a not a huge Elton John fan, I don't need to watch this again. So the song that has been used is Don't Go Breaking My Heart. Is used in the end
Company?
The end credits of Chicken Little.
Oh, Oliver and Company is Billy Joel.
Yes.
I'll say.
And not a great movie.
I was thinking, well, neither is Chicken Little.
No, the music's pretty good. Oliver and Company is not a great story because Oliver Twist is not a good story.
Oh, Oliver and Company is not a good movie.
We should watch
it.
No, we really.
No.
I'll put it on the list, Kate.
Add it to the list because I haven't seen it in a long time, but I remember liking it.
Okay, Mikey.
When the little chihuahua is like, this is torture? Jamie, okay. Through the now, wall.
The 4 or 5 fun lines from the entire movie do not make a good movie. I have been arguing that for years. That's now.
Fair. That's
so. Okay. What have we got for Disney Plus news?
Just a couple. I feel like every time we're talking about some either Star Wars or Marvel, reports have come out that The Acolyte is the second most watched series on Disney Plus in 2024. However, the last episode is the least watched episode in the Star Wars series. There will not be a second season of this show.
And so the numbers that were released is the thought is that it was watched later rather than during its initial run. At least that's my thought. Pete, you were going to add something? Sorry.
So does anybody, it was the number 2 most watched show on Disney Plus. I don't, maybe everybody already saw this, but can you guess what the most watched show?
What number 1 was.
I do.
Was it a Star Wars show?
No.
It was not.
Was it a show or a movie?
Show.
Ooh.
Animated.
No, it wasn't animated.
Oh, I don't know.
You sure about that? Okay, Pete, what did you see?
I saw it was Percy Jackson.
Oh, no. I heard something different on the way home.
Completely different. I heard it was Bluey.
That's what I heard.
Oh, really?
Yes, Bluey.
That probably would be very high. Yeah, originally
Percy Jackson. Yeah, and as far as shows created for Disney Plus, yes, it's Percy Jackson by like an extra billion.
Yeah.
Viewing minutes or something like that.
Listen, I still think we should pick like 2 episodes of Bluey and watch them for the show.
Yeah, and did you see what the biggest animated movie was?
Yes,
across all streamers.
Yes,
it was Moana again.
Yeah, Moana again. Yeah,
it was what?
Moana.
For like 3 years in a row.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay, we got one more.
We sure do, but it's little. The Jonas Brothers will be starring in a Christmas special that will be on Disney Plus this winter. Oh, boy. That's it for the Disney Plus news.
So can I go on a little rant?
Sure, why not?
Why can't, like Disney can sink $280 million into The Acolyte? And don't get me wrong, I'm a Star Wars fan. I didn't love that series, but I'm happy for them to do that. Why don't you take one of these $200 million shows, split it up, make 10 movies, put it out once a month, give us DCOMs. Give us Disney family type movies. I don't understand. So I'm not a big Jonas Brothers fan, but I like this idea that I don't know if it's just going to be a Christmas concert, if it's going to be a Christmas movie or what it's going to be, but like, give me some, crank out some DCOMs style movies, put them on Disney Plus, feature them each month, and, you know, advertise the heck out of them on the thing. And not all of them are going to hit, but like, it's a better investment than $280 million in an 8-episode show that everybody hated.
Yeah.
I agree.
I like that. My only hesitation is most DCOMs are not good. Just
no.
I disagree.
Well, most of them are not great. I will go with that. They're good for what they are, which is family entertainment. And that's Disney's niche with Disney Plus. It shouldn't just be Marvel Star Wars.
It shouldn't be. I would agree with
you.
Yeah.
And like a thing like Percy Jackson. I mean, obviously that's a bigger budget thing too, but still that's a family oriented show. Like give us, and they've tried
not.
No, that's true. But they tried to come out with these shows early on, the Mighty Ducks and things like that. Not all of them worked, but like, why are you giving up on it? It just frustrates me that they don't want to put out new content. They don't do new content in a way. That's why Netflix is the king. Cause yeah, a lot of their new content is junk, but they keep putting out new content. Right. And, you know,
yeah, 1 out of 20, you're great.
Right. Right. Disney hits 1 out of 20, it gives them one.
Yeah. Netflix hits 1 out of 20, they get 30 a year. I mean,
yeah.
So, okay. Next week, we are going to be watching the movie Out of My Mind. This is based on a novel features a young lady with cerebral palsy in a wheelchair. And it has Jennifer Aniston as basically her inner head voice that she goes. And I have heard very, very positive things about it.
Is this a documentary or a...
It's
a drama.
Yes.
But the actress has actual cerebral palsy.
I believe that the actress does actually have cerebral palsy. Yes.
Okay.
So... guys, if you have suggestions on what we should or shouldn't watch,
Oliver and Cumming.
Yeah. Please email us, plusplatoon@gmail.com, message us YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anywhere. We need suggestions, guys, because we love going back and looking at some of the older stuff. Because a lot of the newer stuff isn't coming out. There's a lot of new stuff that's not coming out. And there may even be movies that have been in the theaters that we will not watch on this show. It's entirely possible that there is a movie that is a prequel that has been in theaters that is a live action adaptation of an animated theory that we will not be watching on this show.
Oh.
No, we are not watching Mufasa. Uh-uh. Nope.
At least it's not a remake of something that we've already seen.
This is true.
You could watch Oliver and Company. It's also about cats.
Okay, sorry, Kate.
Actually, Oliver and Company is not about cats. It's about dogs.
Is All Dogs Go to Heaven, is that a Disney movie?
No.
No, I don't think so, but if it is, no.
Oh.
I'd rather watch, actually, the one I'd rather watch, it's not Disney, but the original American Tale. Was
it's not Disney either.
What about Cats Don't Dance? Is that not Disney either?
Cats Don't Dance.
What? You've never heard of Cats Don't Dance?
Oh, bless your
heart.
Guys, we have new episodes coming out every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Pete, Steve, and needs to watch some decent movies, Kate.
What about cats and dogs?
We will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Plus Platoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.